I'm here to introduce Mihail Prokop. He's going to talk about state of Debian-based Linux live systems in 2010. So, welcome.
Hi, thanks for visiting my talk. I'll give a brief overview from the upper part of the Debian system into the city of live systems. Just a bit about myself. I'm Debian developer, project lead of Grimmel, GRML, Debian-based live system for system administrators. I'm maintaining all the lower parts for booting stuff, and I'd like to know which people of you already use Debian Live. Okay. How many of you don't know what's Debian Live yet? Just two, three people. Oh, great. Where are we flying to? I'd like to start with my motivation about this talk at all. We have 50% of all the existing live systems are based on Debian, which is a pretty good count, and more than 70% of them provide a live system or even provide just a live system and no hard disk installation overall. I think live systems are pretty important nowadays because users want to test live systems on their hardware. How well does the hardware support work? Are there any problems they want to test before installing them? And I think we should think more about distributing a live system as a base for each release of us. I'll talk about this later. So some bits about the history of live systems. Back in the early days of live systems, whereas this is something like 5 to 10 years ago, the main problems of live systems were hardware recognition. Which drivers are present? What modules do you have to load? What when you want to hot plug a device? Nowadays we have UDEV and the kernel, and they do pretty much all the stuff we need. And live system developers can concentrate on all the stuff that's really important for the live system itself. So the live system build stuff, the software selection, special mechanism for all the inner parts of it. But too many options to choose from. At each single step built within the live system, there are many options you might choose from, but just a few of them really work. So I'll start with the bootloaders. We have two. The first one is Grub. I think all of you know this bootloader for your hard disk installations. The nice thing about Grub is that it supports several file systems. And the ISO loopback feature is great. I'll show it later on. But it lacks proper documentation. The documentation is distributed all around the web. There is some more recent documentation. There's outdated documentation, invalid documentation. And within the project, the documentation is distributed within a wiki. And sadly, no relevant distribution uses it for CD boot yet. As far as I know, Ubuntu plans to use Grub for their next release as default for the live system. And I think that's something you should be aware of. If you're building a live system using Grub as a bootloader, there might be issues that aren't known to developers or you yet. Then we have the ESO Linux and SysLinux suite, which is rocking solid. I've had no real issues developing the live system with it for the last 6 years. And the upstream is very cooperative. So we have, if you have any issues, you'll get debug versions and help resolving this issue. But just limited file system support. So you don't get all the features you might get from Grub. And the graphical boot isn't fun. So if you ever saw the very graphical menus from the larger distributions, that's a highly customized ESO Linux version, which is absolutely no fun to remaster or to adjust to your needs. The ESO Linux stuff is for booting the CD, so ISO 9660 file systems, whereas the SysLinux part is responsible for booting USB devices with FAT file system. ways to boot the live system. The most common ones are Pixie boot, USB boot, and of course CD and DVD. I was talking about this ESO feature, and it's a nice method to integrate live systems into hard disk installations. This is an example for Grub 2. So we just create a menu entry, call the loopback command, assign it to an ISO, which you can later on use in the kernel and the initRDA options. So you don't have to extract anything from the ESO, but instead you can select the kernel, you can select the initRDA, and provide according boot options. Find ESO is just relevant to search all the devices for the according ESO file. Boot is live is the stuff that's being used in Debian Live in all the tools, and just further command lines you might want to use. I've documented this in my blog if you're interested to try it out on your own. But it's a very decent and nice way to get a live system as long as you have a working hard disk installation. So as long as your boot manager works, you can just change root into a rescue system without having to plug in a USB device or CD or set up Pixie boot. Now, about the tool chain that's involved in the live system. We want to distribute much more software than would fit on a usual CD. So 700 megabyte won't that be that much if you want all the browser and documenting stuff and several editors. So you might want to compress them. There are several options available. The one that came from Knoppix, a very prominent and popular live system, was C-Loop, which is out of tree. So you don't get C-Loop integrated without using the stuff from Knoppix. GrammFS is pretty outdated and no relevant live system uses it anymore. And the most recent one and the most successful one is SquashFS. SquashFS went mainline, so it's available within the mainline kernel. And there's coming a new version, SquashFS LZMA, which does just a better compression, about 8 to 10% according to my benchmarks. Sadly, it's not yet in mainline, so you have to patch your kernel and your user space tools to get such compression, but I think it's worth the effort because you can just distribute 100, 200 megabyte more. Colin? I can...
Hi, Colin, CJ Watson. Do you know what the state of LZMA... Is this on? Okay. Do you know what the state of LZMA regarding actually getting into the kernel is? The last time I heard, it was quite difficult because the kernel guys didn't want to have multiple compression methods built into the kernel.
Well, LZMA is available itself in the kernel, and Philip has just to clean up his patch. So it was, or I hoped it would reach the 2.6.35 kernel, but I don't think it will reach before 36 or 37. But I'm pretty sure it will reach the kernel because he has just to clean up and stated, yeah, well, it's just the work that needs to be done.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Then for the other part, we have UnionFS, which is a method to provide a live system that looks like a hard disk installation. The problem of live systems is that on a CD you can't write just stuff. You need a method to overlay all the writing stuff, and the first great innovation was UnionFS, which is kernel-based but used to then pretty unstable. UnionFS FUse is the user space implementation I never really try to use because it has some performance issues and it's not that common yet. Another UnionFS is a rewrite of UnionFS by a guy from Japan, which did a pretty good job, but sadly it's not yet part of a mainline kernel. There's a new version available, which is known as another UNFS version 2, which works as well, but it's sadly not yet in the mainline kernel. For booting a live system, you need a support in your initrd to search for the according live system itself. So the root file system we were creating with the SquashFS tools need to be found by the initrd, and you have initrd generators nowadays, init ramfs tools, draycut, and yet another mcar initrd. The last one is pretty uncommon and not that much used and not widely used. Draycut is coming, I think, from the Red Hat guys, and initramfs tools and Draycut share quite a large amount of code, and we are working together to fix the problems in all the initrd stuff. So on Debian, you might use or should use initramfs tools, and Draycut might be an option for you in some months. For the live boot stuff itself, you need all the scripts that find the live system. And you might have heard about live initramfs, that's the counterpart to initramfs tools. And live boot is the successor of it. So it's a rewrite the Debian Live project is working on. And currently, you can just replace live initramfs with the live boot stuff, and the rewrite will bring up new features and cool stuff. Casper is the code which is used in Ubuntu, and that's the one live initramfs is based on. So, as far as I know, Ubuntu, Colin, please correct me if I'm not right, wants to share code with Debian Live and wants to merge code as. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Great. And we have the toolchain for booting itself, but we have to create, of course, the live system, and we have several boot build system where I want to present two. My own one is known as Grimmel Live. To get a live system is just easy as calling this. You specify the Debian suite, the architecture, and Grimmel Base is a base class which does all the fancy live system stuff for you. You choose a specific flavor. You can, of course, use your own one, and the architecture once more to get a according kernel version. But being on DebConf, I want to promote Debian Live. Just a few words for Grimmel Live. It's based on Phi, and that's something which is very nice, because Phi is a full automated installation tool and provides a very nice approach, the class-based approach. We can just provide scripts in a class named foo, with a script name, or just place a file that should be etc foo rc and use the class name, and you can just use a base class and pull all your stuff for all the different live systems you want to build based on base classes or further classes. So the class-based approach is very nice to either install Debian, of course, with using Phi, or to provide further scripts for the live system. The live build of Debian Live is as simple as in Grimmel Live. It's you just call lh config. It creates a config tree. You can just adjust the config configuration bootstrap, where you might want to specify the mirror which is faster than the German one, and then call it with root permissions to build the ISO itself. If you want to build the live system using Debian Live with the Debian installer included, Daniel and several other guys from the live system just worked on the live system part of the Debian installer, and as far as I know, it works well during DebConf. So all you have to do to include the installer is call lh config with the according options. there's Live Helper in as a web front end available, where you can just provide a few essential details, adjust the options according to your needs, and the Live Helper web front end will build an ISO for you, so you don't have to install it on your own system. Chris Lamp developed a very nice alternative to this approach. You might have heard about SUSE Studio, which is a web front end with fancy features to create your live system. And nowadays we have studio.debian.net, where you can just register yourself, and similar to the previous one, you can just create your live system. It was released during DevConf. So I created a rescue image, and you get a build information and the according command line that was used for building the ISO. Now, a fancy feature of nowadays live systems is the hybrid feature. Hybrid boot provides an option to use the same ISO image with hard disk installation like a grub bootloader as well as a live part. So you can just DD an ISO to your USB device and you can boot it then. No further fancy stuff needed. If you just want to boot a live system from USB, all you have to do is call the ISO Linux hybrid binary, which is executed by default on Debian Live nowadays. And you can just take the file and DD it to your USB device and it will boot, as well as the same ISO will boot from your CD. Very nice for nowadays live systems for building is the CDN Debian Net mirror, which gives you not just the closest geographical location, but also it's known to be alive and it's up to date. So a very nice feature which you might consider for using building your live system, so you don't have to adjust the mirror depending on where you are building or where you are traveling right now. For Splash, boot Splash graphical stuff, nowadays solution is the Plea Mouse approach, which works pretty well. You have just to install it and use the Splash boot option. And I'm pretty sure there might be more use of it as there were several tools available for this boot Splash stuff. And nowadays this works pretty well, including the KMS stuff. So everything great, right? No. We have a pretty nasty toolchain. If you want to build your stuff with the LZMA compression, you have to patch your tools. The build system needs to support it. There were several changes in command line options you might have to parse. Several tools might break that are relevant for live boot, and you might not be aware which tool it might be. So we have to deal with quite breakages during release cycle of live systems. And guess what? Uncooperative maintainers. You might consider a bug report. There is a problem. I need to fix it. But nobody cares about it or reacts in time, so you can just continue building your stuff. But luckily, we can use the NMU uploads with the delayed queue. So nowadays, we have a pretty good chance to fix all the stuff that's broken ourselves. And quality assurance. Sadly, live systems tend to move, and we have several software packages on it. And if you are distributing more than 2,000 software packages like Grimmel does, you can't just test each package on your own. So I think we need some kind of quality assurance. We also lack from hardware for not so common architectures. So we are good at the stuff users usually have at home, but there aren't that many live systems available for the not so common architectures. If you consider this worth an effort, you might be interested in joining an existing team and show up with the hardware you have, because the usual guys working on live systems just don't have the hardware pool that might be useful for building live systems. But there are good news. We are Debian and we can fix our stuff, and we have a pretty good tool chain with regards to developers. And one I want to mention is the pure parts approach for checking the policy. And I'm building live systems on daily basis and noticed much better packages as soon as pure parts showed up. So you might not be aware of this, but installing packages and removing them and checking all this stuff was much improved as soon as pure parts showed up. So I think we should put more effort into this testing suite. Another good tool we have is Lintian, because it provides the developer an option to check his own packages without installing manually or just checking each single line within the Debian directory. And nowadays we even have rejects for very serious errors in the FTP master. So if you upload a package that very probably to break, Lintian on FTP masters will auto-reject it, and Lintian improves our pool a lot. So what's interesting is that we can do daily builds with the live system. So you can just take the most recent kernel, you can take the most recent user space tools from Unstable and provide your own daily builds. I'm aware of Ubuntu doing this. In the Grimmel team, we are doing the same, and the Debian Live team does the same. So what's interesting in this approach is that you can use continuous integration of your own software. So you just upload a Debian package, and on the next day, you can just test how does it work together with all the other software packages which are not under your control, maybe, and test them without having to update your own hardware installation or build a virtual machine on your own. So you can just take the download the image and start testing. And for when talking about live systems, I don't want to leave you with all my complaints, but I propose some changes within Debian. As a first step, I think we need auto testing for the non-German speaking guys. Auto is a car in German language, and as developers or companies test their cars, I'd like to see a same approach for Debian. I'd like to crash in a controlled environment and not when the user gets our images and has to debug it on his own, which part is involved. Is it in a live special tool? Is it in the common Debian stuff, or is it maybe in a Debian derivative special stuff? So I'd like to crash it in a controlled environment. We can just test stuff, crash it, and know what might to be fixed. And I'd like to verify it without any risks, because I don't want to install software on my productive servers or laptop or whatever, just to see whether it works. I'd like to test it without any risk, so I don't get X starting up again and so on. Grimmel started to work on a KVM test environment where we can boot a system, inject a script that's being executed, and report back what might be failed or if it's okay. It was mainly a prototype to see what's possible, and while working on it, I stumbled upon, together with another Grimmel developer, we stumbled upon Autotest, which is a fully automated testing suite controlled or mainly developed by Red Hat. And they are doing kernel-based tests, KVM-based tests, and several user-space tools. It provides a nice suite for testing this kind of things. And during the DevConf, I talked to Zach and Colin, and Ubuntu also has a spec on automated testing, and I'd like to I'd welcome if any one of you is motivated to work in this area, because that's the part I'd like to work within the next few months. Colin?
I can just give a little more background on that. Ian Jackson did this a while back, and he took it to DebConf actually at the time, and talked with a number of people about it. He's not operating it anymore. I think that the main thing that this needs is for... I don't think it needs significant software development, except for maybe just fixing bit rot and things. What it most needs is for somebody to simply operate it. So run the service somewhere, deal with filing bugs, deal with things when it goes wrong. Yeah. So I don't think it would be a major project for somebody to take on. You're not having to develop vast swathes of software in order to operate auto package test.
Mm-hmm. And a problem I've with live systems is I'd like to see dpkg divert for config files. Several tools already support an inclusion mechanism for config files, so you can just use the package.d directory, or just add an additional include into some config files. But there are several tools out there that doesn't support customization with additional config files. So I just need to replace some init scripts, and that's stuff I don't want to do without letting or informing the user that I have to do it. So what I'd like to see is some kind of update alternatives or divert option to replace config files for your own needs. Support for config files, that's what I was talking about, sorry. Outdated kernel or lack of essential tools and modules. Sometimes the kernel doesn't provide all the features that are necessary for live boot, and we have to work around this. And I'd like to see the live projects being part of the core project itself. So the kernel provides always all the features that are necessary for live systems, that are essential for live systems, and that several distributions start to work together, because there are several patches against mainline flowing around, and I'd like to see a common place so we don't have the problem that everyone has to reinvent the wheel. Mentioned the automated testing and exactly the constantly usable testing approach, and that's what I was thinking of as well, because this kind of approach gives us the option to test the Debian system at each single day. And I'd like to see rolling releases as part of our daily work on and development as Debian developers, and not just wait 2 years for another stable release and see what might break currently in testing as soon as we want to release it. So if any one of you isn't aware of this approach yet, please visit this website and read about it. And I'd like to see live media as release goal for Debian releases. Currently, we are releasing, and we have at maximum a short notice in the release notes. But I think most people actually wait for live system or live media to check out the new Debian release, and I think it should show up at the same time as we release Squeeze. So if anyone is interested in getting this as release goal, please let us know and tell the Debian Live people on the mailing list, and let's coordinate this efforts towards the next release. Oh, OpenOffice broke up. Something interesting. It should read as live system. So I'd like to suggest Debian derivatives, which is a new sub-project, which is an excellent idea in my opinion. And I'd like to propose such a thing for Debian derivatives live. So all the teams that provide live systems, more than 100 live systems are out there, can share their knowledge, can share their problems without being implementation specific. Because I use my own build system, the Debian Live guys use their own build system, and I'd like to see other distributions share their knowledge, their problems, and where we can might or possibly work together. So to repeat the state of live systems, I want to mention that we are pretty good at live systems nowadays. It was much harder when I started to work on live systems 7 years ago. It was pretty much a mess with dealing with hardware support, with building a live system, because back those days we used to take existing distribution and remaster it within a change root, usually manually without being able to reproduce anything. Nowadays we have very nice build systems. We have a good amount of existing live systems for all the different tastes and needs, and I think we should work together towards an official live system within Debian to provide users a decent way, a nice way to test a new release. I'd like to point to two meetings. The first one is the Debian Live team meeting, which will take place today evening. Please join us if you are interested in the live system part of it. And the second one is the cut-off session of Joy Hess. Everyone interested in attending or working in this area, please join tomorrow in the InterSchool Lab. So, I think there's some time left and I'm open for questions.
Yeah. So there are some real significant challenges and technical problems with the idea of using dpkg divert on configuration files, which is one of the big reasons why we don't do it particularly well at present. And particularly the guarantees that you have around configuration files with user modifications have real problems when you divert them. From my perspective, I would actually much rather identify the places where you feel like you need to do that and fix them. So I think your biggest one is init scripts. As it so happened, in the first talk this morning, we actually had a really great discussion about that particular topic. At the risk of introducing something controversial, that is something Upstart would be able to solve for us, is that Upstart will have a different mechanism for being able to override an init script, that you will not need to divert it or treat it oddly like you have to with init scripts. So if we can identify the other places where you're running into places where you need to divert config files, I would rather fix them than try to figure out how to make dpkg divert on config files work.
I fully acknowledge your approach, but I see two problems. One is the uncooperative maintainers, or the lack of importance for Debian itself for systems that just want to do it different. For example, I'm generating SSH keys just when the user starts the SSH server, and the init scripts within Debian doesn't support any way to generate the keys on request, and it's a pretty tricky stuff, because on hard disk installations you might operate differently, and that's the one thing about it. And
happy to work with you on that.
Sorry.
For the record, I'm happy to work with you on that as an SSH maintainer.
Great. And the second part of it is we aren't aware of all the users that are building live systems. So we might fix our own stuff, but we aren't aware of the problems that other people do. And I know several live systems and looked behind the scenes, and they are doing pretty dirty stuff to get their problems resolved. And as soon as we provide them a way how to resolve this issue, we might fix their hacky stuff as well. I know that the modifications of config files are a problem for the diversion, and I'm not sure whether it's the best approach really, but I think we should talk about a way how to resolve this issue without fixing all the issues we might come up with in init scripts or any other tools.
So I mean, I guess I would put it this way. I think that the places where you need to divert config files are technical bugs in packages. in that I believe that, at the very least, it would be an improvement in the quality of the package if there were some sort of override mechanism or config directory yeah. that you would not need to edit a single configuration file. And I think that maintainers who are standing in the way of improving the quality of their packages is a political problem that we can solve.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. So.
Kai Hendry, I just wanted to say that there's a set of scripts contributed by Brendan Slight in the Debian Live community, and he in that order tests some of my images, and you basically he with running these scripts, you get like a video of your distribution booting up and a final PNG, so you can see if the if the thing worked.
So. I'm aware of this, I even tried it on my own, but it's not enough for me. I don't want to know whether it just boots, because that's something I expect from nowadays live systems. But I'd like to write tests for each single software package in our pool. So software maintainers themselves can write as their own unit tests that are executed, that report back, do I work as expected too? So the screenshot approach has solved the problem, or at least partially solves the problem that you get a working system that boots just up. But I'm dealing with bugs in several tools users might not be aware of yet, because they don't use Unstable for live systems, for example. But that breaks something, and that's nearly on a daily basis, and I'd like to see this resolved so we can just work together, and not anyone who notices a bug is hunting it and might not be aware of another one hunting it, because it might be tricky to locate it even. And I'd like to report it as soon as some package breaks or some software with other tools involved breaks. But definitely worth mentioning. Thanks.
Hello, Anton.
Hi. Am I? Sorry.
Phil is over.
Camera, maybe.
Okay. to pick up on the SSH point and the diversion thing together. One of the problems with diverting config files is if the upstream Debian developer then packages a version that has a completely different configuration file and puts a load of scripts in that fixes it. You've diverted it. It fixes the diverted version that you're not using, and everything breaks. So that's not terribly helpful. On the SSH front, I think that points at a more general problem that we have, which it would be nice to have some way of saying to a system when it's booting that it's actually a new copy of the system, so that if you've cloned a disk, it works out that it needs to do something about a new system name, new IP address, new keys, a whole bunch of things, and having some extra options to, I don't know, the init script that says, you know, it's clone time rather than it's start time might be a way of doing that, or it may be a depackage reconfigure option. Because it is quite useful sometimes to just take a bit-for-bit copy of a system, and then on boot you have to either be a bit careful, or it would be nice to be able to say boot as a clone and sort yourself out, and that would be very similar to the booting a live system. Yeah.
All right.
What would be involved in using a non-Linux kernel with the live CDs? So it seems to be pretty Linux-specific at the moment, the process.
I have never tried anything, but I'm aware that the FreeBSD port might be interesting, and that Daniel over there might have news for you.
Hi. If you want to port it to another kernel, you only need a layer, UniFS or whatever. Compression is nice, but you don't need it, so Yep. That's almost everything. And I'd like to make 3 points about what you said before. First, you said that Grub has that fancy loop mode. Have a look at SysLinux, it's much nicer. You can use memdisk module, then you need only 2 lines, label whatever, kernel, memdisk, append, my fancy ISO, and then it boots that.
Can I respond to that briefly?
Sure.
The memdisk works. I think that's using BIOS hooks, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's.
So that works, provided that your operating system pays attention to the BIOS in any way, but which I don't think Linux always does. But you know, we'd be happy in the spirit of competitiveness between bootloaders. We'd be happy to integrate that into Grub.
Sure. Second thing was you said that let's make live images official for the next release. We do have official images for Lenny. And what was the third thing? I don't remember.
Well, I think it should be just the official release goal and other guys, and for especially the release managers should support it, right?
The third thing was that the buff later on is just a team meeting. Everyone is welcome, but it's kind of boring, I guess, if you're not really involved.
Right. So, I think no further questions.
Hi, my name is Alex. Okay, you mentioned with a package like SSH, it's assuming it's installing on the hard drive. If you have a live system that's not really meant to use a CD, it's going all into RAM after it loads up, what assumptions change on how the live system works? Does much change if you just have a kiosk system? It swallows does a net boot, it swallows the mix of RAM disk and it starts running. What changes with the live setup?
Well, for the live system itself, the live system already looks like a hard disk installation, so there isn't really a change. And if you put it into RAM, just the access to any blocks and on the file system are faster. But for me, it's also an issue because I don't want to create the SSH key on each boot. It just costs time and resources. So I don't want that. That's an approach other guys are taking. But I don't want this. And I don't have an host key by default shipped with my live system. So it's not just that it doesn't look like a live system, but I have different needs than people doing hard disk installations.
Okay, but the question wasn't so much specific to SSH. It's just that the assumption for a live CD is that it's going to access the CD if it's let's say looking for an SSH program or looking for OpenOffice. But if you're just using RAM disk by itself, does anything change in how the live system would be designed as to if
no.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I'm DKG. I'm one of the upstreams for Deburf, which is a system of the kind that you're describing. We have packages in testing and unstable, and it's designed to just build an init RAMFS that basically looks identical to a regular Debian system, and you can just drop that in as your RAMFS and then tell your bootloader, here's the kernel, and oh, use this monster RAMFS instead of using whatever else, and then you're not relying on any block device. So I would be really interested in ways that the functionality of Deburf could be folded into the Debian Live process, because I think for forensics and for system upgrades and for all kinds of other things, it's very useful, especially with the amount of RAM that we have on machines right now. It would be very useful to have an all in RAM arrangement, just to be able to manipulate the rest of the machine without being reliant on some underlying file system that you can't remove. So if there's a way that we can collaborate on that,
yeah,
I'd be happy to participate.
Well, the keyword is stackable, And I think there are already existing approaches, so we should just talk to each other.
Okay, thanks.
Here I have a comment from IRC. Martin Zobel says, about Phil's comment, when you clone, you have the problem that the file system has the same UUID. So if you at any time later need to mount that cloned file system into another cloned machine, your system gets very confused by the same UUIDs.
UUID of what, of the live systems itself?
I think that's somewhat off topic for this talk, but we should have a way of dealing with that. So,
well, the UUIDs, you can adjust them.
He's talking about the UUID on the cloned system that you have no interest in, that I mentioned.
All right. Then, thanks for flying with me, and I wish you a good dinner. Thanks.